New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern said today that her government will announce new gun laws within 10 days after the mosque shootings in Christchurch on Friday that left 50 people dead. The Prime Minister also said that tech companies have a lot of work to do to stop the spread of violent and hateful content online. Will Sommer is a tech reporter with The Daily Beast. He's been following that side of the story. Will, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So you write that the accused killer used disinformation to manipulate the media and spread white supremacist ideas long after the killing had stopped. Did he succeed?
I think so. I mean, you know, we saw the essentially what he did by having both live footage of the shooting that could then be cut and spliced and sort of repackaged endlessly, as well as having this manifesto ready to go. He had a lot of things that could appeal to, you know, both people online who are just kind of like trolls or bored people on the internet, as well as people who might be interested in his ideas and interested in learning more. So, you know, he has this roughly 100-page document filled with his ideas. And then, you know, instantly after any mass shooting, people are wondering about the motivation. Hmm. And so then he had this document prepared that said, well, here it is.
He claims to have wanted to raise tensions between the left and the right in that document. That's what he says. And then, you know, look, just hours later, look what happened in Australia when a young man smashed an egg on the head of a conservative lawmaker who has anti-immigration views. I mean, what ways have you seen this manifest itself, that in fact what he set out to do is happening?
Right, exactly. I mean, there's a lot of sort of red herrings in the manifesto. For example, he says he references Candace Owens, who's a conservative activist in the United States, and says she was his greatest inspiration. Well, all signs suggest that's sort of an elaborate troll. I mean, Candace Owens, but he says she's too extreme for him. I mean, this is someone who's on Fox News all the time, is not obviously as extreme as the New Zealand gunman.
And she happens to be black, by the way.
Exactly, which also makes it unlikely that this white supremacist would really idolize her. So this sets off then sort of a wave of recriminations against Candace Owens, who had nothing to do with any of this. So in that way, the manifesto is kind of filled with these different bombs essentially waiting to go off to distract people from the gunman and his own motivation.
The Charleston church shooter Dylan Roof and the Norwegian mass shooter Anders Breivik also used social media to try to influence what people would say about them after the fact. But is there something different, more advanced, going on in this case?
I think so. I mean, I think this is the first time we've seen with one of these shootings a sort of whole media package. I mean, you know, the Dylan Roof's manifesto and social media was very kind of jumbled. Anders Breivik's was this gigantic, like, 1,000-page manifesto. On the other hand, the New Zealand shooter, his manifesto is packaged almost like a press conference. Mm. He's taking questions. You know, he's saying, you know, why did I do this? Am I a conservative? Am I a liberal? You know, the stuff like this. And then he obviously the live streamed footage of a massacre is something we really haven't seen before. I mean, I think the only analog would be the kind of press campaigns ISIS would go on after one of their massacres.
Can we talk about that? Actually, it's a fascinating point, because ISIS stages their attacks for an online audience. They release videos and manifestos on social media, and the group uses the internet to recruit new members. There's some irony here, isn't there, that the tactics are mirroring each other.
Right, exactly. I mean, you know, theoretically, you would think of ISIS and this white supremacist anti-Muslim shooter as sort of complete opposites, but tactically, they're very similar in that they're doing these acts, you know, to appeal to a wider audience on the internet that they hope to activate.
And yet, it still is easier to find information in screeds by white nationalists online than it is to find content by ISIS. Does that say something about the state of affairs?
I think it does. I mean, we saw during the rise of ISIS and when, you know, these execution videos were all over the internet, Twitter and YouTube and Facebook had really cracked down on them and made it basically impossible for them to spread. And then, you know, now if you try to upload one, you know, it'll get knocked down pretty much immediately. On the other hand, I think the social media platforms have been a lot more reluctant to go after far-right sentiment, in part because I think they're concerned about coming off as, you know, politically biased against more mainstream Republican policies. You know, obviously, they're different things, but it can be difficult. You know, if you're saying, you know, this website, we're not going to allow links to this website, or we're going to block this kind of content.
How much do forums like 8chan, where the shooter was active with these white nationalist musings for over a year before this attack, how do those groups add fuel to the fire?
Right. I mean, 8chan is, you know, obviously one of the least savory corners of the internet. And this is a place where, like, a lot of bad activity, not just neo-Nazi sentiment, happens. You know, 8chan initially rose to fame because of the child pornography on the site. And so, you know, it's additionally a real hub for the QAnon conspiracy movement. In effect, these communities, they kind of connect a lot of atomized people who generally are just sitting at home on the internet. And they offer people who are going to confirm their extreme beliefs.
The shooter was in court over the weekend. Supposedly, he wants to represent himself. People are worried that this is going to give him a platform to spread his hate. Should we be concerned about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a real issue. You know, in this particular case, New Zealand seems to have some pretty strict press laws. You know, the shooter's face was blurred out in court, for example. Mm-hmm. And so I think that'll affect how much of what happens in the courtroom spreads beyond it. On the other hand, you know, this is also what Anders Breivik did, where he represented himself and sort of used the courtroom as a platform to push his ideas.
Clearly, these shooters are thinking about how to get their message out, and that is a big part of this story. So you have to wonder how they will inspire, or if they will inspire, the next massacre.
Absolutely. I mean, we see even in the shooter's manifesto, right, he's citing Dylan Roof and Anders Breivik. And so you can see sort of the ideological lineage of this kind of mass shooting. And this person saying, you know, this Anders Breivik really inspired me. And supposedly he was in touch with his compatriots in Norway. You know, it's very easy to imagine the next shooter citing the New Zealand shooting.
And it's tough because here we are talking about it.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. That's Will Sommer, tech reporter with The Daily Beast. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks for having me.